Check, one check. One check. Oh, everyone inside the storm shelter. There's a rager coming, and it's called Magic the Amateuring. Lock up your daughters. Don't give away your prize cow just yet.
It might make it. It might.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring, episode 49.
Part 2.
For those of you counting, that's 49.
Part 1 was canceled. So if you're listening, you haven't missed anything.
Whew, I was worried for a second there.
I know. I was like, I don't know what happened in part 1.
Don't worry. No spoilers. Nothing to catch up on. Magic the Amateuring, better than your favorite TV show.
Oh, yeah. You don't even know what my favorite TV show is.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That is not true, but that is quality television.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Everybody, this is a magic show about Magic the Gathering. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
And I'm another host, Megan.
And lastly, I am a host, Ben.
And this is my cup of tea. You hear that slosh?
Yeah, you got it all over the table.
Oops. Oh, my gosh.
Jeez, Maria.
I taught these two yokels how to play Magic a year ago, and since then, they have not left my house.
That's right.
That's true. We've taken up residence here.
And I've moved since then, so it was weird.
I know, but I don't want to use another bathroom. You know I'm attached.
We like the new people who live in your house.
Yeah, they're super cool. Janet and Joyce.
Yeah, they're like 80-year-old cat ladies, Janet and Joyce.
It really works with our style.
One half human, one half cat.
Cat
all
lady.
All Janice.
We're here to teach you guys about Magic the Gathering, if you choose.
Yeah.
Or if you don't choose, you know, you are free to turn us off, but I don't suggest it.
You're also free to listen, but learn nothing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Although so, I would say that probably doesn't happen to most people.
I mean, I hope not.
But you never know.
You never know. Except when you do.
and even then you don't know.
No, you really don't.
The master is the one who knows a lot, but also knows he knows nothing. Is that the graceful way to say that?
That was a semi-graceful way to say that, but I got where you were going.
Today we're going to talk about magic.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about jerking. We have a card of the week for you. We also have our... Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special without Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm. As usual, it is after the holiday for you guys.
Yep. We have Standard Corner with special mystery guest, the Great Pumpkin. And we're going to pick, lick, and flick.
Woo!
And then CAC.
That stands for credit card.
Stands for credit card.
Yeah.
CAC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe along the way, we'll... We'll pardon you for your crimes.
Maybe we
you
will.
Know what you've done.
Maybe we will. So, guys, jerking. Am I right?
I know. When Ben said it in the intro, I bet a lot of people were thinking one thing.
But we mean another.
What thing do we mean, Megan?
We mean when you're a jerk.
Right.
We don't mean when you spice meat.
No.
To preserve it.
No.
And give it Caribbean flavor.
We are not talking about that.
No.
Figure out your own way to preserve your meat.
Really, yeah, be original. Come on.
Come on. So this unfortunately is a thing that happens. And I would say I don't have that much experience outside of our local gaming store where people are generally very nice.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton of experience with in real life people, but I feel like
I've been a hermit most of my life too.
Yeah. People are more likely to be jerks on Magic Online. I think that that's a thing.
Yeah, it is a thing.
How about just people are more likely to be jerks online?
Oh, hey, that is also
a true
statement,
that's
Ben.
That's true.
You are
Except
very
for
nice.
Our listeners. They're all super nice.
Our listeners are really cool and would never do this. But this is just an FYI in general, because, you know, if you're a noob, maybe you get taken down the wrong path.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe you thought that you were being guided by Obi-Wan Kenobi, but you were actually being guided by Darth Vader.
Maybe you thought this gecko was kind and nice, but really this gecko was not.
No, he was a jerk gecko.
Yeah, watch out.
So be careful, because there are geckos who will try to mislead you. In your magic journey, and we don't want you to get caught up with them.
Right. Right. So this came to be, I thought we should talk about this simply because a lot of people encounter jerks on Magic Online and sometimes in a gaming environment. And I had an unfortunate experience today on Magic Online, and I know I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we do a recreation of your chat experience,
yes,
I'm going to say the number one thing that I have had people just like go like start bitching at me for is the online shuffler.
Yes.
They'll just like, they'll get a one bad hand and they're just like, oh, thanks, shuffler.
Yeah.
And they'll message that to me and I'm like, I didn't do it. Okay.
So maybe we should talk about myth versus reality about random numbers.
Let's do it, Ben.
Let's do it, Ben.
All right. What are some common misconceptions about random sequences of cards?
Okay. I don't know about that, but I do know that if you're just flipping a coin over and over and over again, you're going to get more sets of like five tails in a row than you think that you're going to.
Yeah, they've actually done studies where they ask humans to pretend that they're making random coin flips.
Yeah.
And then they'll compare it to real coin flips.
And we're always way off.
Yeah, usually you just pick the one that has more streaks in it, and then that's the actual coin flip. Because humans tend to think like, well, okay, about half of these need to be heads and about half need to be tails. And then, so that I'll just kind of go every other, or maybe I'll do two in a row once in a while.
But go crazy. Do
but
three
really,
in a row.
It's not that uncommon to flip a coin 20 times and to get way more heads than tails. Yeah. And so what does that mean in terms of the shuffler on Magic Online? Well, it means that even if you draw 10 lands out of 17 cards, that's not that unusual. Even if you draw 10 lands out of 15 cards, it's not really that unusual.
I remember once I drew an all land hand on Magic Online and I sent a picture to Ben and I'm like, what are the odds of this? Turns out the odds are actually fairly good.
So what I did then was I calculated the actual odds and I took into account, you know, about how many games have you actually played and and then like how likely was this to happen at least once in that number of games, and it, you know, it usually wasn't that unlikely when we figured it out. So that's what you have to take into account, is like once in a while you'll get weird things that happen to you, but really in the entirety of your experience in your whole experience,
thank you,
things probably aren't as weird as you think they are. Not that you're not a special person, you still are special, but your random numbers are not special.
And what confuses me is that, like, if you draw a crappy hand when you're playing in real life, you're just like, oh, this was a crappy hand, I have to mulligan it. And sometimes you do mulligan to five or you mulligan to four.
Yeah.
And, like, when that happens to you in real life, you're not like, oh, I'm such a crappy shuffler.
Damn my hands, I'll burn them with fire.
I need to practice my shuffling.
Thanks, hands, for that awesome shuffling you did.
I remember a real life game where I drew one land out of the first three hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
that'll just happen to you.
That's life. Why do people think that Magic Online is going to be different? They're trying to recreate the game.
Well, there's a couple different causes. Some people, when they shuffle, are not randomizing as much as they think they are.
That's fair.
Like, some people might be, you know, sorting their lands in there so that things are not really quite as random as maybe they should be.
What's that called?
Mana weaving.
Not, that is cheating, ladies and gents.
What, this? This is not a weave?
it looks so natural.
So if you're shuffling, you have to just shuffle, you know.
Can you tell us, we'll take a tiny break real quick from what we're really doing for the noobs. Tangent, about how many times you need to shuffle to get good randomization of your deck?
I don't actually know the math in this, but I'd say probably for a limited deck, like 6 or 7 times, and for a 60-card deck, 7, 8, or 9 times.
Oh.
That's a lot of shuffling.
You want to do that after you've looked at the cards. So if you've looked at them and sorted them into piles or sideboarded cards out or something, then you want to do that many shuffles after that.
Yeah. And you can think about it like when you've played a game, that's kind of like you've sorted your cards because you just put all of your lands together in one spot.
Yes. Yeah.
Or yes. You've seen them, so you know what order they're in.
Magic players have a higher occurrence of early onset arthritis.
The other thing that...
Really?
No.
Okay.
The other thing... You're thinking of StarCraft players.
Oh yeah.
The other thing that makes people think that the Shuffler Magic Online is not truly random is confirmation bias, which is just the tendency of all humans to... ignore data that does not confirm what they already believe.
Right.
And what in this case is the data that we believe?
The thing that some people believe is that the shuffler is broken or the shuffler is working against them.
Oh, and so then when they get a bad hand, they're like, oh, this is confirmation of the fact
that
it's
they forget about all the times when, oh, this hand had the perfect amount of land in it, and I won the game, and it was over in 2 seconds.
Or like, oh my god, I drew a hand that had like 3 lands and like a 1, 2, 3, and 4 drop
spell.
Right,
exactly.
Right. Just because I think all gingers are evil and don't have souls, you know, is confirmed by 1 or 2 gingers I know that don't have a soul. Doesn't mean all gingers don't have souls.
Well, I don't know. Well, all the gingers I know have no souls either.
Really?
Yeah, Megan?
Well... As someone who has recently become a ginger, I can confirm that my soul immediately disappeared. So, yeah.
Okay, if you, that's confirmed. Listener, if you are a ginger with a soul, just send us a picture and make sure that your soul is in the picture.
Make sure to get it.
So we can get evidence about this. Yeah.
And if we get no pictures, then that proves it.
Yes.
It would be non-formation.
Non-formation bias.
Yeah.
You guys, back to jerking.
What are some other forms of jerking?
You know.
Well,
like,
go ahead, Maria.
Well, I can just let's recreate this.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be the mayor.
No, this is a moto conversation I had.
All right, I'll be the mayor.
I'll be the other person in your conversation who's not you.
Okay, sure. So this is a conversation happened to me today. This is not uncommon, sadly enough.
Yes. Let me set this up.
Me. I play. This is game one, and I won with a Portent of Betrayal off the top of my deck. I probably was gonna win anyway, but here we go.
All right, nice one, top decker.
Anytime, smiley face.
GG is top decker. Say thanks to Moto.
GG's.
In your face, top decker.
Ha 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 ha. Okay, pause. That was the end of our conversation. Then, this user private messaged me to continue the assault.
Did you tell Moto GG? Well, did you? Did you, top decker?
Yes. Moto is my roommate and he lives downstairs, so I yelled down the stairs, thank you. But then he came up and ate all my peanut butter.
Dead on board and then portent. Yeah, top deck portent. Yeah, right. You newbie.
How do you know I'm a noob? How do you know I'm a noob? Maybe I'm Mark Rosewater. Maybe I'm a 2,500-year-old wizard who plays magic every second of every day.
You top deck like a noob.
Good luck in your next matchups. I'll yell downstairs again and tell Moto to be nice to you.
Our priority for this town needs to be our school system.
Oh, thanks,
Mayor. Good job, Mayor. Yeah. So that was just kind of actually really amusing to me. But it made me feel like sad for a newer player who might experience that and who doesn't want to like razz the person who's razzing them back.
Yeah. Or who's like new and then has this awful experience where someone is mean to them and is like, Moto is a horrible place.
Yeah.
Where people just torment you.
So don't be mean on Moto, guys.
It's a lot like the common room of a fraternity.
And do you know what? For every time that some opponent of yours top decks something to win a game, you're going to top deck something to win a game.
Yeah.
Yep. Unless you play terrible cards that won't let you win.
Or unless you purposely put in Portent Betrayal because it was good in your deck.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was in there for a reason, specifically to win. So, I don't know. I don't know what you want.
That guy wanted to win.
Anyway, be nice out there. You can report people, actually, for being abusive on Magic Online, FYI, if you get somebody who really irks you. or yeah. says mean and inappropriate stuff.
Yep. Get it done.
I've never done that. Have you ever done that?
Reported? No.
But I've never had someone be so aggressive that I felt like it was necessary. I feel like if someone ever like really made me feel terrible, I probably would.
You can also just block people.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And I was in this situation, I was kind of having fun with the guy too, so yeah. I didn't do anything like that. But I sincerely hope he does not continue to do this, especially yeah. if somebody is a newer player
who might be more sensitive. Does he do that every time like bad things happen to him on Moto? Is he just like constantly angry every time he has to mulligan a hand? He messages his opponent, tell Moto thanks for the shuffling, noob.
I mean, it's
your Moto shuffles your deck like a noob.
It's always frustrating, right? If you lose a game that yes. you think you should have won.
Yes.
But there's two parts to it. One is you have to be honest with yourself about, you know, did you lose because your opponent got lucky, or could you have done something to let you win the game?
Yeah.
And to be fair, sometimes a card like Port of Betrayal, like you talk about things that you can play around and then things that you just can't have played around. Like that sometimes is just one of those things where it's like, well, that's the first time I saw them play that card and I couldn't have played around it before then. Or like yeah. there's nothing I could have done.
Yeah.
And it happens.
So Maria, it's okay that you lost to Port of Betrayal. I don't want you to beat yourself up about it.
No, I won with Port and a Betrayal, Ben.
It's okay, Maria. You'll get the hang of it someday.
But Ben,
it's okay.
Oh, fuck. Card of the week.
This is the part with the card of the week.
This is the part with the card of the week.
Card of the week.
That was a very 70s sounding intro.
Sorry to get that song stuck in your head, guys.
It's never getting out. Never getting out.
So, guys, cards of the week, am I right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Totally, man.
Yeah, man. My card of the week is Port of Betrayal.
Man, that's my card of the week.
Oh, Maria's card of the week is Port of Betrayal.
Sure. Let's just say a few words. We've mentioned it briefly. This is not a card you want in every deck. It's a card that lets you steal your opponent's creature for a turn, and you get to attack with it if you so choose. Goes back to your opponent after you are done with your turn.
Do you know what would be the weirdest thing, though, Maria?
What?
If you stole it and you didn't attack with it.
That'd be very strange.
It's like, oh, I'm just gonna hold on to this.
I want to know what it's like.
I just want to see this. What it's like to own this card.
Go to combat. No attacks. Port of Betrayal. Resolves.
Oh my god. If you
pass turn.
If you Port of Betrayal post combat, that would
that's
be
so
the,
weird.
The weirdest thing that
well,
ever
I think
happened.
You get a scry off this Port of Betrayal.
That's true. That's
so
true.
So maybe
scry.
It's a desperation act. Actually, something interesting that happened with it to me was that I Port of Betrayal one of my opponent's cards that had an ordeal on it.
Oh, okay. I have done this before, yes. And I think you discovered the same sad
yes,
thing that
I
discovered.
Certainly did. It was an Ordeal of Erebos, which once it gets three counters, your opponent has to discard two cards.
Oh, no.
And so I took it, and my opponent even said, nice play, like to me in the chat box, but I wasn't 100% that I was going to get those two cards out of him. I was like, let's just see what happens. Sure enough, I still had to discard two, you guys. It was I had to discard.
My lesson
did
was
you,
not... Oh, go ahead.
Could you have played differently to make it better? Or let's say it this way. How would you figure out whether or not you were going to discard the cards or he was?
I suppose I could have read the ordeal.
Right. What does the ordeal say?
Every time this creature attacks, put a 1/1 counter on it. As soon as it gets to three counters, sacrifice ordeal of blank. When ordeal is sacrificed... something happens.
Your opponent discards two cards. It must be, and it's like that for all of them because when I played, I did not have as harsh of a lesson. I played and my opponent had Ordeal of Heliod, mm-hmm. and I was like, there's an outside chance. I also thought it was an outside chance. I was like, there's an outside chance that I gain 10 life off this if I crack it.
That'd be sweet.
I did not. My opponent gained.
So when you gain control of something, you do not gain control of the things that are attached to it.
Yes. So like if I get a husband, I don't gain control of his dog.
Right. So if the card says, if the card says the creature has this ability, then you would gain control of that ability.
Right, so a sacrifice ability.
Well, for example, like with Dragon Mantle, it says enchanted creature has... Let's see, how does Dragon Mantle work?
Like, enchanted creature...
Does it say enchanted creature has... can get +1/+0, or does it say plus like one red mana enchanted creature gets +1/+0 on the card?
I don't know. But I think we get the difference, right? Like if Dragon Mantle said,
right,
target creature has, and then like red mana symbol colon +1/+0.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, it's as if that creature reads that type.
Right. Then whoever has control of the creature controls that ability.
But if it says enchanted, like what would be the alternative reading?
If it was on the, if the activated ability was on the enchantment.
Yes.
And then it said,
if it had just like red mana symbol colon enchanted creature gets +1/+0.
Right. Then you can only use that ability if you control that enchantment. And so it works the same way with your deals. Whoever controls, if it's, I'm pretty sure the ordeal just says, if you attack, add a counter, then if you have three or more, sacrifice the ordeal, and either you gain 10 life or your opponent discards 2 cards. So that's talking to the controller of that enchantment, even though your opponent, blah, blah, blah.
Right, right. And, you know, in my heart, it wouldn't have felt like that should have happened. Like I should have, it would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah. It, like I said,
it would have been super sweet.
Outside chance.
But anyway, Port and Betrayal. Okay, in an aggro red deck. Anywhere else, I don't know, man. Never use it unless you're going to use it to win the game. That's what I've learned about that card.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Next.
My card of the week is a card I like to call,
Ben hasn't thought of a card yet.
Artisan's Ancient Sorrow of Remembrance.
Not a card.
That's not a card.
Not a card.
Corrosive.
No.
Not a
times
card.
No, spent not, a card. Not remembering where my artifacts
no.
went.
Not a card.
That is not it.
The card I'm thinking of is the 4 mana instant that destroys an artifact or enchantment and you scry 2.
Artisan's Sorrow.
Yeah. No, that's the one.
Okay.
Anything you want to say about it?
What a spicy, versatile meatball to put in your any pie.
Any pie?
Any pie with forests.
Why are you?
I was gonna say a meatball in a blueberry pie is gonna taste like a yuck.
Yeah, yeah. As but is a meatball in a swamp pie.
Oh!
When I go deep, I go so deep. I put a meatball in a swamp pie.
Just one? Where's the other one?
Megan, what's your card of the week?
Arbor Colossus.
Oh.
That's all. It's awesome. It's such a good card, and I know it's a rare, and I know it costs 3 green, but damn, man, nothing feels better than, like, sticking an Arbor Colossus and then just being like, here's a 6/6 for 5 with reach, bitch.
Divine verdict.
What are you going to do about it?
Mm.
Actually, what
That'd
I found...
That'd be a good pie to stick my meatball in.
Stop. Oh, God, stop. What I found was, at least when I was playing this deck last... This was a draft deck that I built this past weekend. I had a... It was very, I guess, like, threat dense. So I had several cards on my curve leading up to Arbor Colossus that people felt compelled to use their...
Right, very good.
To use their removal on. So,
like what? Like the 3/2?
Or the like 3/3? What?
Or the
Agent of Horizons?
It was like
Nessian Courser?
No, it was something I had bestowed a Hopeful Eidolon on.
Nice.
Like it was bestowed things. I had a Leaf Crown Dryad, I had a Hopeful Eidolon, and I would bestow them on something, and then someone would be like, I need to kill that. And then I'd be like, and here's an Arbor Colossus.
Yeah.
Now
and
what?
Be like, oh shit. I wish I hadn't done that.
But even if I hadn't, then I guess I'd still be losing, probably.
It's a flipping Arbor Colossus, man.
Oh, green, you overwhelm me.
I mean, there are just, like, there are some rares where I stick them and I still don't feel like I'm going to win for sure-sies. And every
Ben,
time
is there ever a time you stick it and you don't feel like you're going to win?
For me, sticking it is the win. You know what I mean? Like, if you get to show someone
this
your Arbor Colossus, I feel
worse.
Like you've accomplished
something.
This could
something. Not be worse. Ben,
look,
Ben
if,
has said
if I feel like,
sometimes
if I
fine,
feel like I know my opponent well enough
that are not fine ever,
that I can put down a 6-6,
mm-hmm.
then like we've gotten somewhere together, and I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not always the end result that I'm looking for. Sometimes the process is fun, you know?
Of just laying down your Arbor Colossus?
Yeah.
Without monstrosity?
Yeah. Even if we don't finish with that Arbor Colossus out on the board, it's fine. Right?
Yeah.
Don't you guys agree?
I stopped being in
the Let, I'm going to count down to three, and we'll all be like, yeah, you're right. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, you're right. Thanks, oh. guys.
There's Ben.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.
It's already happened for you listeners, mm-hmm. But we're celebrating it today.
Because we would hate to ever celebrate a holiday on time on this podcast.
That's correct.
That will never happen.
No, it will. It will
no,
not.
We don't.
I promise you now, we will never celebrate a holiday on time.
Look. We're not, this is not NASA.
No,
okay?
No.
We can't afford calendars. The expensive space charts that would be required for us to accurately predict when the holiday will be in relation to this podcast.
Right.
As far
right.
as we know, for you, Thanksgiving was 3.4 million years ago.
We that just don't happened. Know. We that just don't happened. Know.
And we don't know how long this podcast is going to survive.
No.
No.
We really
no.
don't.
I'm assuming that... The
forever.
Next Voyager probe.
We'll have this on it.
Yeah.
I agree. On the gold record.
We need to tell other civilizations about our greatest game so that they can learn how to play.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thanks, Megan. You brought a great plate of mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah. This is a plate of mashed potatoes.
I brought a can of olives.
Thanks,
oh,
Ben.
But I ate most of them.
Thank goodness. God.
How about we all go around the table and say what we're most thankful for in magic?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'll start. I'm thankful for First Strike.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes you just want to kill and you don't want to get touched.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'm thankful for the stack.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very intellectual thing to be thankful
Thanks.
For.
Thanks. I mean, it just allows so many... different things to go on in the game and gives you so many chances to have interesting decisions, and also you can trick people.
Yeah.
Without the stack, you probably don't yeah. really get a chance to trick people that
or
much.
Or respond That's to true. Tricks.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Yeah.
I am thankful for Death Touch.
Yeah.
There's nothing quite like taking my little 1/1 and using it to murder your creature.
That's yeah. a really dark thing to be thankful for.
Oh, what can I say? Mm. Also, you guys, I learned an important lesson last week.
Yeah.
That was a very upsetting lesson to learn, but now
But you
I'm
are thankful for the lesson.
I am thankful for it, and it involves Death Touch. My opponent had Monstrosity to Nessian Asp and bestowed a Spearpoint Oread onto it.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was... Gross. There were crazy things going on, man. And I had a little Baleful Eidolon just sitting out on the table. And I had a Time to Feed in my hand.
Yeah.
Which, if you use a fight effect, First Strike isn't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that, and I ended up losing that game.
Wait, what?
Yeah. If I had Time to Feed my Baleful Eidolon and his Nemesis of Mortals, even though it had First Strike... That's not a
yep.
thing when you
what?
Use a
that
fight
doesn't make
effect.
Any sense.
It makes all the sense.
Oh my
it's
god.
It's only
that's
a combat. It's only a combat thing. Like in the attack blockers and then like in the combat phase, that's when First Strike is a thing.
Right. So what does fight mean?
It means the two creatures are put in the arena and they go at each other.
Like the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Fight means target creature and another target creature each deal damage to each other equal to their power.
Okay, yeah, when you read it out, it does sound like that.
Right, so abilities like Death Touch or Lifelink that trigger whenever the creature, they don't trigger, but they come into play whenever the creature deals damage, regardless of if it's during combat, if it's to another creature or a player, those will be taken into effect, right? So you would gain life from a lifelink creature, and if you take damage, if a creature takes damage from a death touch creature, it is lethal damage. However, something like First Strike, what does the First Strike rule says? It says that First Strike creatures deal combat damage before creatures without First Strike.
Yes.
But
it's not
fight damage is not damage. Combat damage.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it would have to say that in the rule for the keyword fight, right?
Yep.
And it don't.
So you guys, it was heartbreaking because after like I lost, and I was like, wait a second, I'm pretty sure I've seen this come up in something before. And then I asked someone, and they were like, oh, yeah, if you used fight, then it would have just killed it.
So what are some other examples of keywords that don't matter when you use fight?
Flying.
Double strike.
Double strike. That's a good one. Flying is another good one.
Mm-hmm.
Trample.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trample don't matter. Reach.
Don't matter. Reach.
Might as well be flavor text.
Whatever, man.
Swamp walk.
Reach as flavor
Island
text.
Island walk. Any of the walks.
This creature cannot be blocked. Don't matter.
Unblockable. Don't matter, man.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. You may have as many of this creature in your deck as you want. That doesn't matter when you're fighting.
No. I think Shadowborn Apostle. Why are you here? Why are you here?
Yep, fight.
Fight. Anyways, that was so. I'm thankful for lessons.
All right. Next up is Standard Corner with our extra special mystery guest. Let's pull the curtain off of his head.
So yeah, he knows where he is.
Under this curtain.
Hey guys.
Thanks for joining us. Let's give Matthias a second to allow his eyes to adjust to the light.
And yeah. This is just a standard corner.
Just a standard corner,
just
everybody.
Just a standard corner.
It's just your run-of-the-mill corner. It's nothing special about this corner except for the occupant of the corner.
Which
that's right.
This week is special guest Matthias Hunt.
Hey, Matthias.
Upgrade.
Hey there.
You're a pro player.
Oh, wow.
And you have great hair, BTW.
No one ever knows what my hair looks like. That was a trick question.
A trick compliment.
Because it's under a hat. Everybody wears lots of hats.
Yep.
It's true.
All the time.
Also, we're all blinded because we caught a glimpse of it once and it was too much.
It's pretty bad. That's why I wear hats.
So, Matthias, this past weekend, you were out in Providence for the Star City Games Open.
Yeah, I was in Rhode Island. I'd never been there before.
Is it as small as they say?
I mean, things are pretty little over there.
Did people have problems getting all of their permanents onto the table?
Well, the table, I think it's all to scale, so you just have to look really close.
Are all adorable. The magic, all of the magic cards that you use in Rhode Island are smaller than average magic cards? Oh, man. God. So what were you doing out in Rhode Island?
Well, I was covering the Star City Games Opens. It was the Standard Open and the Legacy Open.
Ugh, let's never talk about Legacy.
Yes.
So this we should is the... probably talk about it at some point on the show.
Okay, someday. But can today not be that day?
Let's mark our calendars. Six years from today.
Actually, you guys, a legacy discussion is going to happen on the show sooner than you might think.
What?
Why? Are we going to, when we pass it off to our offspring? Is that...
sooner than you think.
Oh my God, Maria.
God, what's happening?
Are you pregnant?
Yeah. No.
You never know, man. You never know. So, Matthias, there were some oddball decks running around this weekend.
Yeah, there were some pretty cool decks in Standard this weekend.
Surprise decks?
There were some surprise decks. I think what's surprising is that up until now in Standard, we kind of had three kind of decks. We had decks with 30 removal spells, decks with Nykthos, and decks with 30 creatures. And that was about it. And we saw mid-range decks for the first time this weekend.
Say what?
So a mid-range deck is going to be a deck that has about 12 to 16 creatures, and then about 16 more spells or something. So,
like removal spells?
Usually removal spells, maybe a little bit of card draw. It's kind of, sometimes mid-range decks feel like a stack of good cards when you play with them.
Yeah.
It's hey, like, why wouldn't you want to play with a stack of good cards?
It's like you went through your trade binder and you're like, I want to play all of these. And then you just put them in a deck and you put in a lot of dual lands.
Okay.
All right. So tell us, what were some of these decks?
Well, the deck that actually won was Jund Midrange.
Ugh.
Yeah,
I know. We're back to that guy.
Well, yeah, that is kind of, if you've been around Magic recently, Jund kind of is starting to become the best deck in every format all the time. And it is one.
What is it? What is Jund? I know we went over these names, but I didn't forget, but maybe somebody out there did.
Except for Legacy, right?
Well, it's good in Legacy now.
But not Vintage, right?
No, it will probably never be good in Vintage.
Hold on to that, Ben.
And in Momir, it's pretty bad. I mean, it's no better than anything else.
I mean, mountains are the best land in Momir.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's red in it. I got that far.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's green, and then there's black.
I knew there was green.
Jund is one of the five shards of Alara, which is where it gets its name from.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like we really missed out on being able to know these names a lot faster simply because we did not play that set.
Yeah, me too. True. I'm with you.
The keyword of Jund was devour. You had creatures that ate smaller creatures of your own to get bigger.
What?
Yeah.
Grody.
It's
that's what
the Shard of Jund is like.
I've never seen Maria Morkside. You know, Jund does include Rakdos, right?
Yeah, it's like, it's Rakdos. You could call it green Rakdos.
It's strictly better than Rakdos.
Or Golgakdos.
Fuck you.
Golgakdos.
I love that.
So tell us, what did this Jund mid-range deck look like?
I think the biggest thing is we are now seeing decks playing Reaper of the Wilds from Theros. He didn't see too much play right away, but the deck is playing, so it has about a 12-creature base.
Mm.
It's playing Sylvan Caryatid, it's playing Reaper of the Wilds, and is playing Stormbreath Dragon.
So,
those are all some quality cards.
And I think our last one is Pelucranos. So the idea is you want to play a really large creature on about turn 4 or 5. On the first turns, you're just going to kill things. You're going to play Abrupt Decay. You're going to play Mizzium Mortars.
Pew!
So
pew, pew!
Kill everything for the first couple of turns.
Pew!
And then you play a really good creature. And you hope that whatever else they play just can't fight with your really big creature.
Mm.
And then the next couple turns, you just start killing things again as you win with your big creature.
Pew! Pew!
That seems like an alright strategy.
Yeah, basically, you're using the fact that all your cards are really good to say that as long as this game goes on, your really good cards will prevail over your opponent's cards that have synergy but aren't as good in the first place.
Okay.
I get it.
So, isn't it hard with the colors for the mana?
Well, there's really good mana from Ravnica, so it's not as bad as you'd think.
Okay.
I think these decks are good because temples are really good in these kind of decks.
Oh.
With their scry.
Yeah.
They call it sculpting your hand, which is a very...
I did that in middle school.
Yeah. I think it is a gross term.
Right, it's just like in the movie Ghost, right?
Yeah, it sounds very hoity-toity. If you ask me.
The sculpted
hand. But it means that when you scry...
Let's just replace that term right now. Let's come up with a better term.
What's a new thing that we could call it when you use your scry lands?
To get a better hand?
To draw what you need or better cards.
Mm, what can you do to improve a hand? You can put a ring on it.
All right. So from now on, when you're using scry lands, we're going to call it putting a ring on it.
Let's not stop there. Let's say I'm going to Beyonce my hand. I'm Beyonce-ing.
Or icing. I'm icing my hand because it's like the icing on the cake.
Any of these will be fine.
Will work. I'm getting a cuticle. I'm getting a pedicure.
I want to use Beyonce, Beyonce-ing my hand.
A pedi. I want to call it a mani. No, wait, a manicure. So, that's the hand.
So is there just the one mid-range deck or are there other?
There are other mid-range decks.
What?
The about them.
Well, the breakout, that was the breakout mid-range deck. Mm. There has been some bug mid-range decks that are also starting to get pretty good. Once again, they're playing Reaper of the Wilds, but instead of as much removal, they get to play Jace, Architect of Thought.
What? That's not even a creature.
No.
That's, but it's a good card, so whatever.
Yeah, and it's going to just draw more good cards in the deck.
Yeah.
Blue yeah. is mean like that.
So what is that? What does that look like, that bug deck?
So the bug deck would be pretty similar.
Do you just take out red? You just take out red and put in blue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
So you still have like your Pelucranos and your Sylvan Caryatid and...
All of these decks are playing four Sylvan Caryatids.
That's kind of the story with mid-range decks, right? Like you just take out a piece and then nothing else like becomes bad.
Right, you have to figure out which pieces are the pieces you want. It's not...
Yeah.
Yeah, that is more or less how a mid-range deck... I heard it described... What is it? With a mid-range deck, you notice that these are all three colors. Standard right now, kind of the quip is you can play one color or you can play three colors, but you probably don't want to be playing two.
Oh, snap. I noticed that a mono black deck won a big tournament this past weekend.
I think actually that's true about dating as well. Like, you can date three people, or you can date one person
but you
don't
date
two people.
No, just don't do it.
Yeah.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Penis envy. I might be misunderstanding the term, but I'm going to say penis envy. All
right, we'll leave it at that.
Sure. So what else was there?
Well, there were a couple other decks. We saw Reed Duke play a Bant deck. It was playing a full four profit of crew fix in it, in addition
Whoa.
To... Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, color me surprised.
Well, what about that?
Yeah, I think he made it to round six with the deck. It's using Prophet of Crew Fix and Prime Speaker Zagana and Sphinx's Revelation to draw a million cards.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody in Magic likes to draw cards, am I right?
Yeah.
Especially artists.
And then does it have, like, a win condition, or are those...
Well, Prime Speaker Zagana is okay at winning the game.
Yeah.
I believe he has a Pelucranos. When he gets a lot of mana, he can make it real big. I did see one game where he played two Plasm Captures, untapped, and then made a Mistcutter Hydra, and it was really big.
Holy snap.
Ah!
Also, he played Plasm Capture?
Two Plasm Captures.
Oh.
Plasm Captures, there's an S on the
end. On the same turn.
It was on the same turn.
What? Oh my god. That's amazing. Can we just remind everyone what Plasm Capture
that
does?
That's expensive.
Because that is like...
blue, blue, green, green, right?
Yep.
Counter target spell.
You get
at the beginning of your first main phase, add to your mana pool color of any combination equal to the total of the converted mana cost of the countered spell or something.
You put way too many words in there.
That better not be exactly what that card says.
No, that is not.
It's basically the idea is you counter the spell and then you get the mana that they paid for it.
The card actually says hold up fingers equal to the number of converted mana. Okay, good job.
Plasm Capture actually is a reference to a really old Magic card, one that is banned in every format except for Vintage.
What?
It was the exact same card, but it only cost blue.
What?
But that was colorless mana, right?
You only got... Yeah. So it's worse.
Yeah.
But it's...
It's called Mana Drain.
Yeah. It will cost you, I think, about $200 to get one at least.
It's strictly better than a card that... was too good and no longer
exists. Right,
so
cancel used to only cost two, and then this is a two mana cancel that just adds like three or four mana to your mana.
What were they doing in R&D when they made that card?
Well, that card came out in the set Legends, which was one of the earliest expansions. And at that point, R&D was basically, hey, we are selling cards faster than we can design them. So
Legends has a lot of cards. If you ever want to take some time to go over the Legends spoiler, you'll see a lot of hidden gems in there. There's I think a white mana, a white enchantment for three mana that takes away Planeswalk from all creatures. At the time they printed it, there were no creatures in the game with Planeswalk.
Yeah.
What?
Now there are
I think three.
Three? Yeah. Three.
What does that mean?
Like swamp walk, but for planes.
I was thinking like planeswalker, like they could walk from Ravnica over to Theros.
Don't worry though. There's these disenchantments. There's five of them in the set, one for each.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, you can stop any land walk.
It's basically circle of protection.
Oh my god.
Am I right?
Yeah.
What's your favorite right now in standard, Matthias?
I like forest walk.
So in standard. My favorite, my favorite type of land walk.
No.
I would.
My favorite walk is a confident stroll. All right. Favorite deck.
I would say I still like the Nykthos green decks. Mm. I like making a ton of mana right now. I don't know if it's the best deck, but I think it's the most fun deck.
Okay. It is doing really well.
Doing pretty well. Yeah. Absolutely. It's one of the tier one decks right now. I think if you want to win a tournament, maybe you should be playing Mono Black or Esper right now. But all of them are good choices.
Okay.
There's no one dominant deck.
And I mean, when you're playing, what is it, 8 Planeswalkers? Maybe more?
I really like Planeswalkers too.
Yes. The
They're
green
mythic
deck,
rares.
The green deck just plays like just a butt ton of Planeswalkers.
The green deck has, I think, more mythic rares than any other deck.
Yes. Ooh.
Which means it has to be better, right?
It has to be really good. If Jund is a pile of good cards, then the green deck is just a pile of really special
Should
cards.
Mythic Jund be an archetype?
Mythic Jund.
A lot of the Jund cards are just rares.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest weakness of
there
Jund.
There you go, is that they're only rare.
Yeah.
And they're not mythic rare. So any other interesting observations from this weekend?
Our top 8 had 4 mono blue devotion decks in it. I don't know if I don't think the deck is unbeatable, but I think it's a very safe choice. A lot of times when people play a Star City Open, they want a deck that they know will be good, and I think mono blue is a pretty good choice if you want to do that.
Does mono blue look the same as when it first came out?
It pretty much does. The deck is...
Yeah.
There's only, like, if you were to... think up of cards that could go in the deck. There's really not many substitutes. I mean, first of all, you can only play islands. So that's
And you already started out with like Tidebender and Claustrophobia in the deck.
Right.
So it's not like there's so many cards out there.
If you go down the line for like the next best creatures we're not playing, it's like Gale Rider Sliver is one of them.
There's like a Vaporkin.
Vaporkin. Those are some blue creatures. Yeah, those are the ones that they're not playing. Those are probably like the next best ones.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
We better get some more blue cards in this next set.
A little slim. You could play like Death Cult Rogue, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he has 2 blue mana symbols.
Yeah, he does.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, he can only be blocked by rogues, man.
What about the guy that's unblockable? He can go through a door.
Keymaster Rogue? Then you have to bounce your own card.
No, not Keymaster Rogue. He is like looks like a little spirit guy, and he's like half a torso going through a door.
Oh, Soul Sworn Spirit.
Phantom Warrior?
Yeah, Phantom Warrior.
Phantom Warrior.
There's 2 blue in his mana.
He's probably better than Death Cult Rogue. Good
You're
catch.
Welcome. You're welcome, everybody.
Good catch, Maria. Strict upgrade.
We did have a game where a guy using his mono blue deck was able to cast a Purphoros and get it devoted. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
Because he... Wait, Purphoros.
How?
It's the red god.
Yeah, it's the red god. Fine. And had devotion for it.
Oh, because he mized a mountain off his opponent?
Well, it was way cooler. He hit his opponent with the 2/3, the Night Veil Spectre.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then he got a Purphoros and he had some Frostburn Weirds.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And then he had a Nykthos in play, and then stuff got crazy.
All you need is 2 Frostburn Weirds.
And then you just cast your opponent's Purphoros, and it's a creature.
And it's a creature.
That's awesome.
That's baller. That is baller. Nice.
And you can have Thassa and Purphoros in play. It was pretty sweet.
Aww.
Fire and ice.
Loopholes. Mm-hmm. Loopholes. I live for loopholes.
What does that mean?
Ben likes to find
means
loopholes.
I like when weird things happen.
Okay.
And then I write them down in my journal.
Well, in that case, this is your gallbladder.
So a safe choice is mono blue. It's consistently performing
well. I think if you're a tournament grinder right now, mono blue's pretty good. The deck can actually be a little tricky to play. So you'd want to get some games in with it before playing it, but it is a pretty safe choice. It doesn't have any terrible matchups.
Mm. Yeah.
It's got some weak matchups, you know, like Esper. If your Esper opponent's really good, it's going to be tough to beat him.
Mm.
If you're playing the mirror match and your opponent's pretty experienced, that can be difficult. but the deck's powerful, and you know, it's probably it gives you a shot against everyone.
What should I be playing if I'm a pole grinder?
If you're
you mean a stripper?
That's
we don't use that word. Okay,
then you should, I don't know, don't get an education.
Maybe some music instead of magic.
Yes, play some music.
Mono red aggro.
Flavortext Theater presents Pick, Lick, or Flick.
Here we go, guys.
We're going to each get dealt a random card from Theros and have to decide if we want to pick it, take it in the quote-unquote fake draft, lick it, that we would enjoy maybe some kind of intercourse with this card you choose, or flick it, which means we flick it across the room.
All right, here we go, guys.
Ooh.
Savage Surge. Voyage's End.
Nice.
Vapor Cannon.
Oh,
I like lots of things.
Me too.
All right, I've got my pick.
Me too.
Me too.
1, 2, 3.
Voyage's End.
That card is great.
Lick card is
Vapor
Cannon for sure. Vapor
Cannon. And we flick the Savage Surge.
Question: do you think Voyage's End is better than Griptide?
I think
yes.
But if I have I'm a lucky girl, and I already have two Voyage's Ends, and I get past a pack that has a Voyage's End and a Griptide, I think at that point I pick a Griptide, just because...
You want to be different?
Well, no, because it actually, like, it is different to put it on top of their deck, and sometimes it's what you want to do, because you're taking away their next draw from them. You know what card they're going to draw.
Yeah, later in the game, that sucks more.
Exactly. Once you hit 4 mana. But if it's, like, if it's... the first pack, or like the first choice that I'm making between the two, Voyage's End.
Yeah, man.
Just
because
it's cheap.
And if you're gonna do it anyways,
and
like Voyage's Griptide. All
right, let's get our next three contenders.
Here we go, guys.
Oh, here we go.
Get rid of that land on top, man. All right, here we go.
Ben just opened a new pack for us to try this game with.
Okay.
Minotaur Skull Cleaver.
Yeah.
Chosen by Heliot.
Mnemonic Wall.
Oh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Ooh, this is weird. This is a weird choice.
I got it. No problem.
I think I have my pick.
Me too.
Okay.
All right, pick.
Skull Cleaver.
Minotaur.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy's very good. Yeah. Very good in an aggressive red deck.
Else? And Lick. Wall of Mnemonic.
Oh, I was going for Chosen by Heliod.
Oh.
For me, it could go either way. If I'm playing a heroic deck, Chosen by Heliod. If I'm playing a blue deck, Mnemonic Wall.
All
that's
I know
situational.
Is mnemonics give me boners. And that's what Licking's all about.
What's your favorite mnemonic, Ben?
My favorite mnemonic, I believe I mentioned it before in the show, it's the major system where you map each of the digits to a group of consonant sounds, allowing you to memorize large strings of numbers by turning them into words.
We have, in fact, talked about that before.
Yeah, we have.
We should start a podcast just about that.
Nope.
You can. Maybe we'll be your guest sometime.
All right, what do we got here?
All right, next up we have... Favorite Hoplite.
Ordeal of Heliod.
Ooh. That's his bounty.
This is not hard.
No. No.
What do we pick?
Favorite Hoplite.
Favorite Hoplite.
Oh, snap, guys. I don't know. I think if this... Yeah, you guys can make faces at me all you want, but I think that when it comes to making a heroic deck, ordeals are really important. They're really hard to get, and they're more unique than a card like Favorite Hoplite.
Oh my god, I feel like I'm being lectured.
Do it, fine. Do what you
want. I think you need
do
your heroes first. Then you can pick your neighbors.
No, I need my ordeal first. In this case... Ordeal first.
But we're flicking Thassa's Bounty no matter
what. We are flicking Thassa's Bounty no matter what. We are flicking that.
Sorry, Thassa's Bounty. I wanted to lick you. It's just, you know, white cards.
Right. All right.
Next up. This is the last one.
Okay.
Fate Foretold.
Mm. Not as bad as you would think.
I like it already.
Kind of a, just, it's like flour.
It's a thing. Yeah. You need it to bake a cake.
Sometimes you just need to water down some drugs and resell it.
Yep.
Coordinated assault.
Mm. No.
That's a thing.
Sure.
And Thoughtseize.
Thoughtseize.
I pick Thoughtseize.
Yes. Don't want to lick it. Actually, I don't know. Do you think Thoughtseize is a better card than Coordinated Assault in Limited?
Coordinated Assault is fucking good.
It doesn't matter because I'm going to pick the Thoughtseize for my $20.
This is not about the money, okay?
Pretend Thoughtseize is worth 2 cents.
And
right
stop
now.
Touching my Thoughtseize.
Wow.
All right. Okay. So we pick the Thoughtseize. We lick the Assault.
Yeah, and it's an unfortunate flick because I feel like there were, if it was, you know.
Yeah, but Fates Foretold usually don't miss.
Yeah.
It'll come back around.
It will. That'll wheel.
There's like 100 cards that are basically the same card.
Yeah.
There's all of the Ordeals, and there's all of the, Chosen by Heliod and that whole cycle, and then there's all their random enchantments. So it's just like, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. It'll happen.
All right. Cool.
Touching your Thoughtseize.
I'm gonna touch something that you have later, and you're not gonna know what it is.
Oh my god,
that was creepy and weird.
Everybody, thanks for joining us this week. I'd like to extend a personal thank you in the form of a handshake over the radio. Can you feel that? That's my hand on your hand.
The next person that touches you, I compelled them to touch you.
The next hand you shake, keep in mind, I did that for you.
I'm giving you a high five. It's a high five that smells good.
Yeah.
And I'm cupping your left butt.
Wait, left butt or left butt cheek?
No, not your left butt cheek, your left butt.
How many butts do you have?
No, like, this is like if you lose weight and your butt gets smaller, your left butt is the butt that you left behind.
Oh, that's awful then. You're touching old fat in a corner or something.
Yeah, that's true. That's
okay, weird. Okay. We have a couple things to talk to you about quick before we leave.
Yeah, first of all, could you just, when you finish the milk, could you just, you don't have to buy new milk, but at least tell me so I know. Because sometimes there's milk there in the morning when I leave, and then in the afternoon I'm at the grocery store.
Yeah.
So if you could just text me.
Just tell him. It's easier. Yeah. It might be hard at the time, but it'll be easier in the end.
And I don't even drink milk, so I'm doing this for you. Because I know that your teeth are brittle. All right? So that's just, I don't want it to be weird. I know we normally don't talk about this stuff. But there it is. Okay, what's next?
I recorded my first ever draft video, you guys.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. Big step.
Thank you. Yeah, and you can see it by going to our website, magicthamaturing.com. It's all up there. It's also on YouTube. It was three rounds of fun. Actually, I wanted to say, recording a draft video is incredibly difficult.
That's why I've never done it.
I did not think it was going to be as hard as it was. It is really hard to talk about what you're doing and then think about what play you should be making while also trying to be slightly entertaining. So we'll see if I accomplished any one of those three things.
I would settle for any one of those three.
Yeah, okay. So check it out, magicthamaturing.com. Leave some comments. Tell me what you think. If you're like, Maria, what was wrong with you when you made that play? Please write it. I would love to hear about it because I need to learn. I'm a noob just like you.
And her self-esteem is way too high, so don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
No. Just give her the raw blade of your knife.
Don't. Right, exactly. I want to be cut down. And Megan has a request for our listeners.
Hey, guys, we're going to start doing a Dear Abby column, which is where you can write in asking us questions, and then we will answer them on the show, kind of like Dear Abby.
Any kind of questions, mind you.
Anything.
If you can sign off with one of those weird sign-offs like loves dogs but is allergic, that's a terrible sign-off.
Sign-off or just like a pseudonym?
Like a pseudonym. There we go. Like a pseudonym. We would really appreciate you using a goofy pseudonym.
And right in. We will, from now on, be kidnapping a person named Amy
Abby.
Oh, shit.
Who is in your trunk?
Did you kidnap an Amy?
We will be kidnapping an Abby every week just to join us for this segment, just to keep it authentic. Don't think we're taking your questions lightly. We're here to help.
Any questions about life, love,
we're here to help
magic,
you.
Babies, corn, pickles, mirrors, chairs, the universe,
investments,
eyeballs, noses,
potato skins.
Pineapples.
Baby names.
MagicTheAmaturing@gmail.com.
Yeah, or just at MTACast if you don't mind putting it out in the open and your funny name is less than 140 characters.
Yeah, yes. Follow us on Twitter. We'd love to have you. My new goal, 500 followers.
Oh, snap. What will we do if we get 500 followers?
We'll all convert to Judaism.
Yes.
Can we make shirts?
That said, I just converted to Judaism.
I was just thinking MTA cast shirts.
Oh yeah, sure. I already have one. Okay. You guys can have two.
But I'm saying like, could we make, if we get to 500 Twitter followers, we'll make 5 extra shirts and we'll do a drawing.
That would be awesome.
Okay, you guys. So there's the challenge. If we get to 500 Twitter followers, we will give away 5 MTA cast shirts.
And then we'll
signed.
Give them to you. Signed.
Signed.
If you want them signed.
If you want them signed. If you were like,
how
no,
would you not?
If you're like, no, we don't.
Could you sign mine on the inside?
Until next week, adios.
Goodbye.
Muchachos.
Ciao.
Sayonara.
A bientôt.